I see a wonderful opportunity out there to bring baseball back in Oakland like it should be. And it's my hometown out there. I'm from Berkeley, California. My mother lives there. And it's going to be very nice.
Tittle is a majestic stallion.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to a very special edition of the show today. Tito Ortiz, Liam McGeary in studio with me and John Baker. They have Bellator Dynamite. That is September 19th down at the Shark Tank in San Jose. Bellator, of course, Italian for the beautiful tower. I don't know if anybody ever brings that up. I just happened to notice that right now. Liam, Tito Ortiz, legend, he's from right here in California. I know you come from King's Lynn. I've spent a lot of time in Blighty myself. And the thing I love about King's Lynn is that back in the day, Bake, no one's going to care about this, but Henry VIII and Bishop Wolsey, they fought over, like, Bishop Wolsey builds Hampton Court, and King Henry VIII's like, oh, thanks for the palace. So they started naming towns like Bishop's Stortford or King's Lynn. You knew that, right, Liam?
I didn't have a clue. That's the first I've heard about that one. Thanks for the information.
That's why it's called King's Lynn, so that everyone would know that it belonged to the king. So growing up in King's Lynn, you find yourself here in San Francisco getting ready for this huge fight. I admire it. How did you get here?
I just kept fighting. Just kept fighting. Never said no, never walked away from a fight, never backed down from a fight, just kept fighting. Anytime somebody says I couldn't do it, I was like, all right, watch me.
And you were a guy like hammer and nails, and then you just...
No, steel fixing, tying steel together, real steel reinforcement.
Oh, that sounds more manly.
Yeah. Concrete reinforcement specialist. That was
here I was with this wimpy banging nail stuff.
No, I used to hump the 40 mil rebar around and make big buildings and bridges and stuff.
So when you you had to sort of win your local tournament, I mean, where was the first time when you won something? Doing this,
The tournament, doing MMA,
yeah, but just a local one, and
it would have been the tournament. Yeah, it was the first major win.
And then at that point, people come to you from different organizations, agents. They're like, "Look, we got bigger plans for you. You're going to go places."
No. I was always in Bellator. I came to Bellator when I think I'd had two professional fights.
Wow. So you're loyal.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they started me off. I had a few fights in between. Then they started me in the tournament. I won the tournament, and now I got the belt.
All right, yeah, and we're going to take, for people, this is radio, we can't see it, but we'll take a picture.
I forget.
We'll take a group picture afterwards for the belt. But Bake, when I told you these two gentlemen were in, and we know a lot about Tito, but your first impression when I said Liam McGeary is coming in, because you know the guy.
Oh, so that guy all the fights I've seen, it's scary, man. It's nice to not talk to him and find out he's a nice guy, but it's scary fights. I feel like, you know, you said you started in 2009, which kind of blows me away because you haven't been in the game that long. Do you think that contributes a little bit because you haven't been through, like physical wars that somebody like Tito has gone through? Obviously, we heard about all of the surgeries and all the injuries and stuff that he's had and all the guys that he's fought. Do you think that being fresh at your age at 32, that you're a younger 32 than most of the guys are or at your age or in Bellator or in MMA?
I think so, yeah. It definitely gives me an advantage, you know. I haven't been, I mean, Tito's been around for 18 years, as he just said.
Yeah.
18 years is a long time to be taking knocks, punches to the head, punches to the body, kicks, everything. It all adds up, you know. And I know from the time that I've been doing it in the amount of fights I've had in the gym, outside, my body hurts as well. So, I mean, God knows how his is feeling. But it definitely feels, being 32 and only just starting off in the game, it definitely gives me a little bit, it gives me the advantage.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like the baseball players that switch positions, right? And they don't have any, they don't go into that. If he goes into professional coaching, right? You went into professional coaching pretty quickly with no kind of previous bias from something else. You know, like when you take a player that's never played shortstop, you put him at shortstop with a professional coach, and all of a sudden he can pick up the techniques because he doesn't have anything clouding his mind of what he used to do or a different way to do it. Now I've got to relearn something. So I think that's kind of an interesting, you know, way to enter the MMA game. You have these two right?
Well, I think at the same time, the MMA game is a learning experience. You know, in wrestling, the more you wrestle, the more you learn, and the longer you've done it, it takes people to catch up to that for so much longer, I think. And just one example, Randy Couture. I mean, Randy Couture came in at the age of 40 and won the heavyweight world title. And he actually won the light heavyweight world title away from me, and he was 40 years old, like 39 years old, yeah. And it was because of the wrestling. It's just the wrestling is a big, big difference. And striking game, I mean, I've been doing it for such a long time. It's, you learn new stuff with new coaches you're with. I don't know. I just think I'm still a sponge and I'm still learning. I mean, when I'm not able to run anymore, I'm not able to spar anymore, and I'm not able to wrestle anymore, that's when I know that, you know, hey, maybe it is time for me to see it.
And Tito, that's how you got your start. JC Wrestlers and then Cal State, Bakersfield.
Correct.
So in a way, you would think, would that be your strength? Or maybe is that something that you know so well that maybe you sort of put it off to the side? I mean, you said you were just wrestling this morning, right?
Yeah. Well, I do put it off to the side a little bit, but it gets me in shape. There's nothing like wrestling shape. I mean, there's nothing like an iron sheet on top of someone, and they're trying to get it off and they can't get it off of them. And that's what wrestling brings. You know, at the same time, I think it's just, I do my jiu-jitsu game, I do my stand-up game, but I got to make sure that I keep my wrestling game there. But just having the cardio, you know, I heard a few of Liam's interviews saying that, you know, my knees are shot and, you know, I've taken some beatings and, cool. I hope he thinks so.
did you see that weird Foxcatcher movie?
I did see the weird Foxcatcher movie. I thought it put a bad light on Mark Schultz. I know, yeah. Mark Schultz, and it was not a great thing for wrestling. I think I look at the more of the drama side of it, and it just put wrestling on a lot.
Yeah.
Bad limelight.
I read his, I think it was Mark, was it somebody, one of the brothers was tweeting about it afterwards and like,
yeah,
was so pissed.
Yeah, it was Mark.
Stopped me from watching the movie.
Yes.
I read it. I'm like, this movie's about this poor guy, dude. And now, and like this horrible situation that happened, like this legend in wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, they ruin it.
Dave Schultz was just, I mean, he was the man. And his brother Mark was the man. And they didn't put Dave in a great light and didn't put Mark in a great light. It was just about DuPont, who's just a crazy old man who had all the money in the world and thought he ran the world. And, It was a sad story at the same time. You know, it's just drama. That's what people want to watch. That's what people want to see. And, of course, on September 19th, you're going to see some great drama.
Yeah,
I mean, being a world champion again.
Real drama.
Rick Tittle with John Baker. We have Tito Ortiz and Liam McGeary in here. We're talking about Bellator Dynamite, September 19th at the SAP Center in San Jose. And, Liam, of all the fights that you've had, I mean, here you have your belt. You are the champ. You're facing, you know, one of the biggest names in the sport. Is this the biggest fight of your whole career?
Yes, definitely. You know, I'm only 10-0 at the moment. So I've had 10 fights. Everyone has to get there somewhere. You know, they have to start somewhere and they work their way up. I'm working my way up. Tito's come number 11. Sound, you know. And then the one after that will be bigger as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just I'm getting better and better each fight. And the talent's getting better and better each time, so which is good.
How do you use your height advantage? Because as a boxing analyst, I would think that your reach is good, but how else do you use your height advantage? And is it ever a disadvantage? Like, bigger they are, harder they fall?
No, I don't find that. I mean, there's a disadvantage. Someone gets hold of my leg, as I've got a lot more leg to pull out. But whereas if they haven't got hold of my leg, there's a lot more leg to catch them with. So I use my height and my length to my advantage.
All right, this is something that might be a little, because you talk about all the surgeries, Tito. If you can mention off the top of your head the worst you've ever eaten it or been injured and the worst damage you've ever inflicted on a guy.
That I had personally during training, I was getting ready for UFC 106 against Forrest Griffin, our second time we fought. And we were sparring, and I thought to myself, I should wear a headgear right now. And when you think that, I should have automatically did it. But, you know, I threw a combination. I went to go shoot a double, and my sparring partner kind of lowered his head to my head, and I fractured my orbital bone.
Ooh.
And it swelled up like a baseball on my face.
Mm.
And this is 3 weeks before the 2 weeks before the fight. I fought anyway, so I ended up losing a split decision to Forrest. Like, I scratched my head thinking, who was watching the fight? But, yeah. The most damage I've inflicted on someone's face would have to be against Ken Shamrock, UFC 40, where it looked like I painted with a purple brush. And His face was really, really distorted. That's the most damage. I'm a damaging person. I damage people when I'm on top. I inflict lots of pain. I'm not a guy to look for submissions. I'm not going to look for a submission. I'm looking to hurt a guy. I want to damage a guy. I want to make him go. I don't want to fight that guy again. And that's the way I fight. You know, I fight with a lot of heart. I fight with a lot of determination. I wear my heart on my sleeve like no other. You know, and, you know, Liam being from England, having the belt in over there, I'm bringing it back to the United States.
You said that last time, man. I live in New York.
You can't be transplanted to your United States and say that now. You can't be transplanted. No transplant.
I'm not transplanting nothing. I live in Brooklyn. It stays in Brooklyn. I go home and it comes with me for a couple of weeks and then I come back to Brooklyn.
I think, Liam, you got to start talking like this, eh? From New York.
Nah, man. I'm always going to keep my English accent.
All right. I'm going to ask you that same question here, Liam, in just a second. We got to run to a break. Lines are open across the United States of America if you'd like to chime in with Tito or Liam at 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Rick Tittle with Ortiz, McGeary, and Baker in studio. Come on back.